People interpret the Bible many ways, but I'm advocating interpreting the Bible literally, and it's not as confusing as it sounds. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know. I'm your host, Dr. Fred, and we're starting a new series today, and it deals with interpreting the Bible literally. In fact, the first book I wrote is called Interpreting the Bible Literally is not as confusing as it sounds, and it really isn't. People tend to make understanding the Bible far more difficult than it has to be. So, for the next few weeks, we will be discussing why it is important to take the Bible literally. And I want to point out that I am not talking about taking the Bible literalistically, which avoids the meaning of parables, metaphors, idioms, and other figures of speech. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about understanding the Bible in its literal sense, the way God intended for it to be understood. Consider the English language. I mean, within it are roughly 250,000 words that can be used in a conversation, both written and spoken. Now, in conjunction with that, we use similes, metaphors, puns, including chiasms, pangrams, tongue twisters, and the always fun, oxymoron. Hyperbole, alliteration, euphemisms, irony, paradox, personification, understatements, and many other forms of figures of speech. These are all specific parts of language that are designed to create a special effect by using words in a unique way. No one that I know of would read a metaphor and attempt to take it literally. The same is true for a simile or any other form of figurative language. So what's the problem then? You would think for people who accuse literalists often enough about failing to take certain things literally that the Bible did not have any figures of speech in it. In point of fact, the Bible does use figures of speech, idioms, and the like. Robert I. Bradshaw from the UK has a website. And I think his website's really interesting. It includes various definitions of figures of speech and how some of them are used in the Bible. His definition of a figure of speech says this, quote, "Idioms or figures of speech are combination of words whose meanings cannot be determined by examinations of the meanings of the word that make it up. Or, to put it in another way, an idiom uses a number of words to represent a single object, person, or concept," unquote. He sums up the problem when he states, "Unless you recognize when an idiom is being used, you can easily misunderstand the meaning of a text," unquote. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? If you don't understand when an idiom or a figure of speech or a metaphor or simile or something else is being used, you're likely to take what the person says or writes literally when it's not supposed to be taken literally. The meaning is supposed to be taken literally, but not the words themselves. The words used in an idiom point to a meaning, a literal meaning, and there's only one meaning. Now, the main reason I decided to write my book originally and to present this information here is to attempt at least to dispel the myth that if a person is a literalist where the Bible is concerned, he is required to take every word of the Bible literally. I've been told that. This is absolutely untrue, and for people to insist on it is not only unreasonable, but it is illogical, and it simply shows their lack of understanding where language is concerned. If there were people in our society called literalists who routinely took every word of every conversation or written work absolutely literally, with no exceptions, then there might be justification for insisting that these same literalists do, where the Bible is concerned, what they do in real life. However, this is not the case. The trouble is that words used in language are, for the most part, not singular in meaning. They're not. Most English words have more than one meaning, and some have many meanings. Determining that meaning in each specific usage is tantamount to finding the actual meaning of the text itself, which is made up of those individual words. Now, besides figures of speech, though, I mean, which I would imagine people worldwide would agree should not be taken literally. You don't take figures of speech literally. You take the meaning of the figure of speech literally. But besides that, are there any other reasons to not take portions of Scripture literally? Well, I believe there are. Yes, and let's discuss them. Reading through the Psalms or Proverbs or the Song of Solomon or just about any of the major or minor prophets in the Old Testament, it is extremely easy to know when figures of speech pop up. For instance, Proverbs 1:20 says this, quote, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets she raises her voice," unquote. Here, we see that wisdom is not only able to speak, cries aloud in the street, but that is she's also a woman. She raises her voice. Now, I've actually run across a few people who believe this to be a literal situation, referencing an actual woman. Normally, though, the average person understands that this is merely a personification, the way it was obviously meant when it was written. So when Solomon talks about wisdom, yes, he refers to it as a she. That doesn't mean he honestly believes that wisdom is a woman. There are many instances of this type of word and usage in Scripture, and no one that I'm aware of would actually expect someone who takes the Bible literally to take passages with this, you know, to take these passages hyper-literally or literalistically. In fact, to take these passages literally, and by meaning what does that exact word mean, not what the overall flavor is of the phrase is, that would simply mean to determine their actual meaning. Now, years ago, I used to subscribe to a printed magazine called the Wittenberg Door. I'm not sure if it's still around or not. But in one particular issue I recall, there was a drawing of an extremely weird-looking individual. The caption read something like this. It said, "For our literalist friends from the Song of Solomon." Now, it was funny to see a woman with a neck made out of bricks and other things that described her in the biblical text. The truth of the matter is that many people see literalists that way. They see us that way, as having to see everything in Scripture literally. So if Solomon describes a woman with a neck, a strong neck, like it's made of bricks, we have to say, oh, she had bricks for a neck. Well, that's ridiculous. Even for those who grant a little wiggle room to the literalists, allowing them to understand passages like the one from Proverbs as a figure of speech, they insist that all other parts of Scripture, which are not obviously some type of figure of speech, must be taken as written. So there's the little bit of a conundrum. You know, they will understand, they will readily acknowledge that everything in Scripture should be taken literally, except those parts like figures of speech and idioms. So they will at least give you that. But they will also say to not do so means that the literalist picks and chooses in order to achieve their desired end of having the Bible say what, for instance, I want it to say in order to support my own claims about the Bible. But here's the problem. It is the intention of this study that we're going to be going over for the next number of weeks to eradicate, to get rid of at least some of those false notions, or at the minimum, cause people to start asking questions. The ideal would be for people to stop placing the literalist in a box so small that there's no room to breathe, much less interpret Scripture. What do you think is going to happen? Well, one can only hope. So throughout the remainder of this study, we are going to take the time to discuss what it really means to take the Bible literally, as well as provide examples of where it may appear as though the literalist is not taking Scripture literally. So thank you for your willingness to be on this journey with me. And hopefully the trip will be labeled worthwhile when all is said and done, and as you look back on these few weeks spent in this subject matter. Now, picture this situation, would you? Picture it in your mind's eye. You got a guy, he walks to the table, you're in a restaurant, he walks to a table, sits down, and he turns to his friend, and you hear him say, "I am so hungry, I could eat a horse." Well, the guy who made that statement has just joined his friends for dinner, and at the same restaurant where I happen to be eating with my family, just a few tables away. Well, let me tell you, I was repulsed when I heard that. I mean, who did this guy think he was, and why, for goodness sake, did he think that this restaurant had an entire horse slaughtered and dressed and ready for him to eat? Oh, you can be sure that as soon as I saw any part of a horse on a plate served to him, my cell phone was ready to call the law enforcement authorities. Okay, all right, it's enough of my unbelievable reaction. The guy had literally said that he could eat a horse because he was so hungry. But my reaction, had it actually been like that, was far different. And, you know, if I look at that situation and I say, if I had reacted like that, people would have said, what, Fred, calm down. Don't be an idiot. He's only using a figure of speech. Well, fortunately, my reaction was far different from the one I described, because I knew that hearing the guy say that, he did not literally mean that he could or would eat a horse, a whole horse. I actually chuckled when I heard it, because I had said the same thing to describe times when I have been very hungry. And maybe you have said something similar. Now, when I heard this comment from the other diner seated not far from me, I knew that he actually meant he was just very hungry. Nothing more, nothing less, just hungry. So consider the word left, for instance. Let's leave that other example, the horse example. Let's move on. Consider the word left, L-E-F-T. If I was in a taxi and I said to the driver, driver, please turn left at the next intersection, he would know that I was informing him of the direction I wanted him to go. And if at the end of my trip I took out my wallet and after looking into it said, oh, I only have $10 left in my wallet, then the taxi driver would be wondering what else I was going to use to cover the $25 fare, wouldn't he? Okay, now, the same word, left, was used in both examples, but it is quite obvious, or should be, that the word has more than one meaning, and the determining factor for each is the context, as well as the grammar itself. So, how do I know what I mean by left? How did the driver know? Because he understood what I was saying, and because of the context. The truth of the matter is that in everyday speech and conversation, language is filled with all sorts of speech, including hyperbole, exaggeration, simile, metaphor, etc. Some of the stuff I read before to you, or noted before. Now, when someone uses these types of figures of speech, most of us have no difficulty hearing them and understanding them instantly without so much of an eyebrow raise. We don't go, I wonder what they really mean. We don't do that. My neighboring diner in that restaurant had used a figure of speech to emphasize how hungry he was, and I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant. He did not have to take the time to turn to me and explain it to me. He didn't have to stand up in the restaurant and explain to everyone who was looking aghast at him like, folks, just relax. I only meant that I'm very, very hungry. Everyone who overheard that man would have known what he was saying. He had uttered a statement for which I understood what he actually meant as soon as he stated it. And unless there were someone in that restaurant who was just learning English for the first time, if that was the case, they might have a little bit of a problem with that person if they recognized the word horse and if they recognized the word eat, but they didn't get the full flavor of the idiom he used. Now, some would argue that he wasn't being literal or that I wasn't truly taking him literally. In fact, when I was teaching an adult Bible class not long ago at a local church and was introducing the concept of the literal, grammatical, historical hermeneutic, one individual said that it seemed like an awkward hermeneutic. I was a bit floored, but asked him how he might express the fact that he was very hungry to others, and his response was that he would just say, I'm very hungry. Well, I then asked him if he heard someone using that phrase mentioned above, if he would assume they were going to eat a horse or understand them to say that they were just very hungry. It seemed like he did not want to give in, but he admitted that he would understand what they meant by a figure of speech. So figures of speech are very important. And we have come to the end of our show today. I hope your interest is piqued. I hope you like what we're going over here. It's a fun subject, and it's a very, very important subject for people, all of us Christians, who need to understand the Bible and to know how to interpret it. I will hopefully have you with me again next time, and until then, may God bless you richly. Hi, I'm Dr. Fred of Study Grow Know Ministries. And besides my weekly radio program, I've written numerous books and commentaries specifically geared for the average person. My books cover a variety of theological topics like prophecy, UFOs and aliens, and even current political issues. You can find them on Amazon.com or through our website, studygrowknow.com. That's studygrowknow.com. Regardless of the subject, I offer a biblical conservative perspective on these and other subjects. So please join me, Dr. Fred, with Study Grow Know Ministries on this radio station every week and look for my books. We cover issues that are important to you.
You've been listening to Study Grow Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.